I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo stove, fixed fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Hey there, football fans. I'm Brian Baldinger, and I'm thrilled to introduce you to The Best Football Show, a podcast that's an exhilarating journey through the world of the National Football League. Join me each weekday, breaking down those spine-tingling moments, dissecting top players, and offering my unique perspective. Prepare to get smarter about the game we all love with every episode of The Best Football Show, where the game comes to life. Huddle up with me for a football experience like no other. Follow The Best Football Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4CBS, the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Action-packed show for us today, all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Got Stuart Kovacs and Jack Cardi along the other way. And we'll have not one, not two, but three guests stopping by. Coming up 40 minutes from now, the man that made the game-winning interception in the game up against the Ohio State Buckeyes, Rod Moore, from the Michigan football team. At the top of the hour, 60 minutes from now, former NFL linebacker Sean Merriman. He's in New York City. Whenever he's in New York City, he stops by the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio in studio. And then in the final hour of the show at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific, the head football coach of the Oregon Ducks, Dan Lanning, will join us as tomorrow on Friday, you got a big-time Pac-12 championship game between the Oregon Ducks, who have one loss on the season, to the undefeated Washington Huskies. We do know Washington did give Oregon their only loss on the year. So looking forward to a monster show today. But we got to start off with the Dallas Cowboys, who kick off week 13 tonight, and they are hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Full disclosure, I do believe the Dallas Cowboys are going to win this game tonight. I see the spread is 9.5. That makes me think Vegas is begging you to plus the points with the Seahawks. Sometimes I see a spread like that and a little voice goes off in my head. Zach, use your brain. Let's be smart here. If Vegas is begging you to plus the points with the Seahawks, just go the other way. I do think Dallas is going to win tonight, but I'm not going to plus the nine. I am going to plus the 9.5 points. I'm actually going to drive it up a little bit on a parlay with CeeDee Lamb getting an anytime touchdown and the Cowboys plus 10.5 or Seattle plus 10.5. That's just the way that I think that this is going to play on out tonight. I do think we're going to get a close game here. It wouldn't shock me if this is like a 27-23 type of game. But then I do get a little bit concerned that maybe it ends up being a 30-20 type of game as well. And both of these teams, like you look at Dallas, Dallas right now is 8-3. They just beat the living snot out of the Washington Commanders on Thanksgiving. And then you look at the Seahawks, they got the crap kicked out of them by one of the better teams in the NFC in the San Francisco 49ers on Thursday. So both these teams had the same amount of time off. You go into Jerry's world where the Cowboys have been unbeatable this year. But I look at the Cowboys, it's like a solid test for them. I don't want to say this is a good test. I don't want to say it's a great test. But this is a solid test for the Dallas Cowboys because they win this game. Now, this is their best win of the season. You look right now at the Cowboys, yeah, they have 8 wins, but 2 of their 3 losses came to 2 of the better teams in the NFL, where they lost to the Eagles in Philadelphia, and they could avenge that a week from now. And then they also got just destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers. So sure, there is no doubt about it that for Seattle, this game means more because they have the worst record. But I still feel confident in saying that even if the Seahawks lose this game tonight, the Seahawks are still going to find a way to make the playoffs. Like, the Seahawks have too much talent this year to not make the playoffs. And also, you look at the state of the NFC, and not a lot of teams here that scare you this year outside of the top two in the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. So Seattle could drop this game tonight, and I think they will drop this game tonight. They go to 6-6, but when you have DK Metcalf, when you have Tyler Lockett, when you have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, when you have the young secondary that they have led by Woolen, and you got a phenomenal coach in Pete Carroll, you're going to find a way to get to the finish line. You're going to find a way to be one of the seven teams remaining in the NFC. Like, this is not Brandon Staley with the Los Angeles Chargers, where they have all that talent, and you know the coach can't coach himself out of a paper bag to save his life. Like, we all know Pete Carroll is a top five coach in the sport. But moving off the game tonight, where I do like the Cowboys to win, and I think this game will be closer than what people are predicting, I go to the MVP conversation. Because I've noticed something from the drama Dallas choking Cowboy fans. They're making a big push. They're creating a lot of noise. This is getting a little deadly at times on social media, where if you don't say Dak Prescott is the MVP of the league, you have all those cockroach Cowboy fans popping up and all those cockroaches saying, oh, you hate Dak Prescott? Oh, do you not realize how many touchdown passes he's thrown this year? And he's beat the snot out of all these bad teams, but they haven't been able to find a way to get a victory up against a good team. You have seen the push for Dak Prescott just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the fans just screaming louder and louder and louder for this guy to win the MVP. And don't get me wrong, he deserves a seat at the table. You know, this is not, you have your adults table during the holiday time and the kiddie table, and we put Dak at the kiddie table. No, Dak deserves at the big boy table this year. You know, he's at the adult table. There's no doubt about it. But a lot of people have decided not to show up to the table this year. Or a lot of people decided to get hurt, unfortunately. Like Joe Burrow, who would have been in the MVP conversation. Aaron Rodgers, who would have been in the MVP conversation. And I know Mahomes has a seat at the adult table, but I can't give Patrick Mahomes the MVP this year. Well, every time we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, what do we say? Their offense hasn't hit full stride yet. They haven't got up to the degree that we expect them to. So I look at the odds today, and I saw this on ESPN, that the four highest odds to win the MVP this year: Jalen Hurts right now at plus 150, Patrick Mahomes at plus 400, Lamar Jackson at plus 500, and then Cowboy fans start screaming, start yelling, start slamming the table. Dak, 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 Dak's got to be the MVP. Dak Prescott at plus 800. And the more and more I think about this, and when I look at those four names, I don't think Mahomes is winning it this year. I think Hurts has a chance. I think Lamar definitely has a chance. And I'll even say this. Dak wouldn't be my MVP, but I can't deny him at least in the conversation of having a chance this year. I would also like to throw in three more names. Those three names would be Tyreek Hill. I would also like to throw in two defensive players too. Myles Garrett, now his chances could take a hit depending on how healthy he's going to be the next few weeks with the shoulder injury, and it looks like he's going to play through it. And the other is TJ Watt. And I know this is usually a quarterback award. We haven't had a non-quarterback win this award since 2012. But for defensive players, I think Myles Garrett and TJ Watt both have an excellent case this year. Now, I don't think the voters will do the right thing. I don't think the voters, because there are a lot of them are just like archaic writers, will think outside the box and they'll just be like, oh, we have to go with the quarterback. Oh, is it going to be Jalen Hurts? Is it going to be Lamar Jackson? Is it going to be Dak Prescott? Oh, Tyreek Hill, can we give him the award? Is it going to be Tua Tagovailoa? So that's what I think the voters will do, because a lot of them just don't think creatively, or they don't watch the games and they've just had these votes for years. But look at this year. The Steelers don't have Jack on offense. The Browns, they lost Nick Chubb and Deshaun Watson. And quite frankly, Deshaun Watson was playing like ass anyway before he got hurt. And look who has carried the Browns and also the Steelers. It's their two defensive stalwarts in Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. Without those two guys, the Steelers and Browns, are not where they are right now. So is the award who's the best quarterback, who's the most valuable quarterback, or is it who is the most valuable player? And as we start week 13 tonight, this is open. You could call in at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 and say, Zach, I think it should be Jalen Hurts. Zach, I think it should be Patrick Mahomes. Zach, I think it should be Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Tyreek Hill, C.J. Stroud, T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett. Like, there's a lot of names that you could give me. And I may say I prefer to go elsewhere, or I may say, I don't think it's likely, but I probably can't refute a lot of the names, at least having a sensible case to go win the MVP. But I want to circle back on the Cowboy fans. And let me preface this once again by reiterating to you Drama Dallas choking Cowboy fans that I think your team's going to win tonight. And Dak Prescott's going to play well in the game tonight. And Dak Prescott has a case to be made to win the MVP. But you know it and I know it. With the push that the Cockroach Cowboy fans have been putting for their guy in number four in Dak Prescott, when he hasn't won a big game this year, and he's putting up a bunch of still prodigious stats, the push really shows your insecurities about your football team. Because you could sit there, rah-rah, pom-poms up in the air, going nuts, jumping up and down like a fat kid in a candy store, making the case for your guy with your excitement, and telling everyone that doesn't say Dak Prescott is the MVP of the league that they're an idiot, a moron, and a dope. You're entitled to that. But we all know down deep, the only thing you're going to win this year or have the chance to win this year is the MVP award. And it shows your insecurities, similarly to like Sixers fans with Joel Embiid, when last year all they did, Joel Embiid has to win the MVP, Joel Embiid has to win the MVP, because the Sixer fan knew that was the only big-time thing they were going to win. Because the Sixers had no shot to get to the NBA Finals and hoist the actual trophy, the Larry O'Brien trophy. Just like the Cowboys are not going to be getting to a Super Bowl, not going to be representing the NFC in Las Vegas and hoisting that Lombardi trophy. Because the facts about the Dallas Cowboys, they're a good team. They beat up, and I mean obliterate, destroy the bad teams, but the two great teams they've gone up against this year, Dak Prescott had the ball at the Eagles' 6-yard line. He ended the game snapping the ball from the Eagles' 27. He went the wrong direction. Against the 49ers, they didn't even have a prayer in the game. They didn't even show a pulse. So even though we like to clown Cowboys fans, they all know down deep the only legit thing they could win this year is the MVP. And the MVP for the Dallas Cowboys has turned into their Super Bowl, which let me just give you a friendly reminder. The Dallas Cowboys have not been to a Super Bowl since the 1995 season or even an NFC title game. So who do you think should be the MVP this year? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me go to Eric in Youngstown, Ohio. He's first up on the Zach Yelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. E, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going, Zach?
Doing great. What do you got for me today?
Man, I know he can't win it, but if Travis Kelce was not in Kansas City, they wouldn't have a prayer of a game. They have no wide receivers that can catch the ball anymore. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. They got rid of, come on. Without Kelce, Mahomes can't win.
Yeah, but up against the Eagles in that game, he played a big role in why they did not defeat the Eagles a few weeks ago, putting the ball on the turf.
There was a lot of drops, and his fumble did cost them. But honestly, he's the only heartbeat that offense has right now.
Well, the only heartbeat that they actually have is number 15, Patrick Mahomes. And he could keep them in every game. Kelce, who is phenomenal. Kelce, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Travis Kelce, and so is Jason Kelce, honestly. Good for Donna and Ed Kelce. Man, America's favorite couple, even though they're not even together. Maybe America's favorite parents, let's just say, that we know sleep in separate beds. But Travis Kelce hasn't been sensational this year. I get the point, because without him, they literally have no one. You know, I like the way that Isaiah Pacheco runs, but if you're going to make a case for who wins the MVP, and it has to be a Kansas City Chief, it's going to be Mahomes. I don't think it's going to be Travis Kelce. Now, I think it was Dan Orlovsky who said this, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but some national pundit a few weeks ago did say this. What about Jason Kelce for MVP? That tush-push play is unstoppable. Now, let me be clear. There is no way a center even though Jason Kelce's a stud on and off the field. There's no way a center is winning the MVP. But with that being said, if you made me cast a vote for Travis or Jason Kelce this year to win the MVP, it would absolutely be Jason Kelce over Travis Kelce. So right now, if I take a guess, because I think a few things factor into this, I think you got to probably win your division to be the MVP of the league. And I don't think Dak's going to win his division. So his stats may be better than Jalen Hurts, but I do believe when you look at the importance and the heartbeat of the Philadelphia Eagles, you do think of Jalen Hurts. Like when I think of the Cowboys, the first thing I think of is their dominant defense. The first player I think of is Micah Parsons. And even maybe this year, Deron Bland, who has that pick six record, which was insane. And he's been so fun to watch. And what a call it was by Jim Nance on that Thursday game. But if I had to make a pick right now to win the MVP, I actually think it's going to be Lamar Jackson. It would not shock me if the Ravens have the number one seed. The Ravens are going to win the AFC North. And you look at that offense and you look at that team, sure, they have a phenomenal defense. But on offense, what do you really got? Mark Andrews done for the season. Zay Flowers is a fine rookie. Odell Beckham Jr. is in and out of the lineup. You lose J.K. Dobbins for the season with another just gruesome injury. You know, I know Zach Ertz is on waivers now. Maybe Zach Ertz winds up with the Baltimore Ravens, and even though he's getting up there in age and a little hobbled, you got a little bit more of help to try to go replace Mark Andrews. But right now, I would think the MVP, if I'm placing a bet here, it would be at plus 500 for Lamar Jackson. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, a lot of stuff out there about the Las Vegas Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders. Stu's Las Vegas Raiders. There's a little fallout from their old GM and David Ziegler, and maybe a return of one former Raider who is currently suing the NFL. Well, one pundit, one writer is saying there's a chance that that could happen. We'll discuss that when we continue in 5 minutes right here on CBS Sports Radio. You can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Talking about the MVP and why I believe that Dak Prescott winning the MVP this year would be a Super Bowl-like feeling for the Drama Dallas Cowboy fans, because we all know that they're making a big push for their guy Dak, because down deep they have their insecurities and they know the truth and they can't handle the truth for this upcoming year with what their team is. They're just a good team. They're just not a great team. And it drives those Cowboy fans nuts. It's funny. You know, I never hear from those cockroaches when they lost to the Eagles. I did not hear from them when they got blown out by the 49ers, but they beat the Chargers by 3 points. Oh, look at this team. Oh, they crushed the Commanders on Thanksgiving. Oh, look at this team. And then they lecture me about how you should appreciate the performances, a blowout performance up against bad teams. And I go, you're not wrong. We all enjoy stress-free football Sundays. We all enjoy when you could put your feet up and you could eat your nachos and your wings and your buffalo chicken dip and order some Chinese food at night. Like, we all enjoy those things. You don't have to worry about the football game. But let me just remind everybody, the Cowboys have lost to a really bad football team this year. They did lose to the Arizona Cardinals as well. So Cowboys fans can keep on pushing Dak for the MVP. I think he has a chance. Like, he has a spot at the table to be a finalist. I don't think, though, that he's going to win the award. Lugnut on Twitter says, I throw my vote in for Run CMC. Dude is being overlooked for the MVP as he was for the Heisman. Yeah, probably should have won the Heisman Trophy. If he played on the East Coast, I hate to say it that way, he probably would have won a Heisman Trophy if he was down south at an SEC school, because he got screwed in the Heisman Trophy race. And so many voters, as Yogi Roth told us earlier in the week, voted before Christian McCaffrey's final game of the season back when he was at Stanford. And also, going a step further there, there is a case to – I know some 49er fans have tried to say, let's go with the rock out with your Brock out, looking pretty awesome in Brock Purdy to win the MVP. McCaffrey was actually my offensive player of the year before the season started, and I think it's going to be Tyreek Hill. But if you add up his receiving yards and his rushing yards this year, Run CMC has 1,328 yards receiving and then also on the ground combined. And then he does have, let's see here, he has 16 touchdowns, 11 rushing, and then 5 receiving as well. So you look at the numbers for Run CMC, definitely has a case to be made for the MVP, but no one has brought him up in that conversation. Anyway, Rod Moore from the Michigan football team, who had the game-winning interception up against Ohio State, is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Sean Merriman at the top of the hour. And then Dan Lanning, the head coach of Oregon, the day before their game, their big Pac-12 championship game, where they're trying to get redemption against Washington. He will stop by at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific. But I got to start with Stu's Raiders. And with the Raiders, there's two storylines here. So one is from Ian Rappaport. He quote tweeted this writer by the name of Hondo Carpenter. What a legendary name, by the way. Like, if you tell me there's someone reporting something named Hondo Carpenter, I'm saying to myself, is that a fake name? Is that one of those Sports Illustrated AI-generated type of names? Is someone trying to dupe the big fella here in Zach Gelb? And Ian Rappaport, when he retweets something that you did, it provides a lot of clout, a lot of street credit, as the kids would say. So Rap Sheet quote tweeted an article of his, and Rap Sheet said some really good stuff in here on the Josh McDaniels, David Zeigler dynamic. True that the former GM and his personnel department loved, sorry, Stu, CJ Stroud. If they were trading up, that's who it was for. When it became clear McDaniels wanted Bryce Young, there was no deal. Now, Stu, I actually remember a few weeks ago in the aftermath of the Josh McDaniels and David Zeigler relationship in Las Vegas when they were both sent packing, I remember we were discussing this report that came out that Zeigler vehemently opposed signing Jimmy Garoppolo, and Josh McDaniels was pushing for Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, we thought that the two of them would be in lockstep because they are really good friends and they've known each other for years, but that didn't end up being the case there. And friends could disagree. I think we all disagree with friends from time to time. But it seemed like they were disagreeing on more things than we thought, and it kind of showed how contentious and up and down and tumultuous that relationship was on decision-making. But here's another scenario where, who knows, maybe this is Ziegler trying to get his name out there so he gets another job in the NFL, when kind of Josh McDaniels is looked at as someone that just needs to go back to New England and milk the teat of one Bill Belichick, and that's like the only way that he ends up having success. So maybe this is Ziegler trying to get his name cleared or exonerated a little bit. But now this is two stories that we've seen where Ziegler's like, yep, I didn't want Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll leak that to a reporter. And now Ziegler's saying, yep, I identified C.J. Stroud. I was demanding the organization to move up in the draft and get C.J. Stroud. And then it was the other side of it where, oh, yeah, and that Josh McDaniels fella, he wanted Bryce Young. Ooh, that's what McDaniels wanted. And that's why we couldn't find a way to move on up in the draft. How do you react to this?
Yeah, my reaction is kind of was like with yours, where you would think McDaniels and Ziegler were very lockstep on a lot of decisions. Like, you would think they were kind of have like the same mindset, the same thought process. So the fact that this is the second time now, and there's probably more things that we don't even know about,
yeah,
that this is the second time that they disagreed, shows the dynamic was pretty bad there.
I was reading the article. One of the disagreements was over the fullback. Alec Ingold or Jakob Johnson?
Yeah, the former Patriot, yeah.
Yeah, there was a big debate there, and I know Alec Ingold pretty well.
He was good. He was a Pro Bowl fullback for the Raiders before this regime came in.
And then he's gone to Miami and has had success in Miami and is actually well-respected in that locker room. And nothing against Jakob Johnson, but it's crazy that they were even having disagreements over fullbacks.
And they released him. Since Pierce came in, he released him
right,
1 or 2 weeks into his takeover. Yeah, he released him.
But, man, even if they got Bryce Young, because I think Bryce Young is more so a product of the bad situation than him not being talented. You look at the Raiders, you have Davante Adams, you have Josh Jacobs, even with the coaching at the time of Josh McDaniels. Like, you have Hunter Renfro, who was in the McDaniels doghouse, Jacoby Myers. Like, you got pieces there. They had C.J. Stroud. Like, look what Stroud's doing right now. Not a lot around him. Tank Dell's been, like, his best option. Devin Motor Singletary gets hot from time to time. You put Bryce Young in there? With Davante Adams, he's your number one wide receiver? Man. Now, I don't think McDaniels would have been fired. I'll tell you that. So whether Ziegler should have just said, yeah, let's go get Bryce Young, or it was too late at that point, or Josh McDaniels should have listened to Ziegler to go get C.J. Stroud, it's just another one of those moments where it's like, the Raiders just don't do the right thing. And even if there's a disagreement between one or the other, they still don't find a way to get either of those players. They were stuck with Jimmy G, who they already signed. I get that. But the Jimmy G relationship now, it's like, okay, you got, what, 3 years on that contract? And I'm sure there's outs on it and all that. But now you're rocking and rolling each and every week with Aiden O'Connell. Let me get to a little audio here. So this is from Hondo Carpenter, who had this story. He then talked about John Gruden. And this was on the Las Vegas Raiders Insider podcast. This is Hondo Carpenter laying out the kind of groundwork for John Gruden maybe to return as the head coach of the Raiders. All right, Juicy, listen up.
I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who feel that Mark Davis, more than Brady and Jim Gray, person he trusts the most is John Gruden and would love to bring him back. And I am hearing from multiple people around the league that if John were willing to drop his lawsuit, that they believe the NFL would give a passive nod to go back and rehire him.
So is this just to be the head coach so they drop the lawsuit and all the dirt doesn't come out? Or is this because Mark Davis actually really does adore John Gruden? And we all know he adores John Gruden, but why would you go back to that well? Like, John Gruden is such an overrated coach. I think he was like 67 and 82, I think the numbers were, since winning the Super Bowl as a head coach. Like, Stu, you would have to be irate if somehow, some way, and I don't buy this one, but somehow, some way, John Gruden winds back up with the Raiders at all of this. Like, it would be comedy hour.
Yeah, you can at this point. And I think I've said before, like, they missed their boat. They missed the opportunity to get Gruden back when Gruden was still a hot commodity. And I feel like they got him back, you know, at his very end of his peak. And it's just, at this point, why? Why bother? Just, you got to go with someone new. You got to go with someone flashy, but it can't be Gruden again. You can't do that.
And then play me this. This is Gruden's lawsuit impact on Goodell in the NFL. Once again, Hondo Carpenter, Las Vegas Raiders Insider Podcast.
But a lot of people believe that John Gruden's lawsuit is going to take Roger Goodell out. And Ooh. It's going to embarrass a lot of people. But now the Nevada courts continue to support it. And now it's coming up on potential discovery. And if you know anything about the legal system, and in discovery, John's going to be able to ask any question he wants. Doesn't even have to be about him. He can say, I want to talk to this owner. I want to talk to that owner. I'd like to talk to Roger Goodell. I'd like to talk to whomever. And John Gruden knows where everybody is buried in the NFL.
That would be typical NFL. Let's make one problem go away by bringing back another problem in John Gruden. That is some spicy, spicy and juicy stuff from Hondo Carpenter. All right, we got to take a break. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we do return, the man that made the game-winning interception for Michigan up against the Ohio State Buckeyes, Rod Moore, will join us right here on the Zach Yelp Show when we return in a few moments. We continue. It is the Zach Yelp Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. I was at the Michigan-Ohio State game at the Big House. What an atmosphere that was as Michigan, for the third straight year in a row, gave a big-time beatdown to the Ohio State Buckeyes. And the man that made the game-winning play, the interception, to send the Wolverines to another Big Ten championship is Rod Moore, who's kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Rod, first off, congratulations. Appreciate the time, and how are you?
Thank you, man. I'm good, man. Just getting over that good win, trying to get ready for this Big Ten championship.
So 5 days removed from making a game-clinching interception in the game up against Ohio State, just take me through how you put it into words 5 days later.
Just really thankful that God put me in the position to be able to make that play, man. And especially just I mean, I really can't explain it still. Like I said before, it's just I would say a dream as a little kid. Like you close out a game, one of the biggest games, especially me being from Ohio, and it's like you're seeing that rivalry growing up, and then you're the one who closes out the game and as a game winning interception. It feels so great, man. All glory to God.
Like you said, you grew up in Ohio, about an hour away from the Ohio State campus. They didn't recruit you. What do you want to say to that coaching staff and those coaches that didn't think you were good enough to play at Ohio State?
I mean, I really ain't got too much to say. The film, I mean, the way I played against in the past 3 years, they see how I play. So, yeah, they missed out on a great opportunity, but it is what it is.
That game is always personal with the recruiting process or the lack of it. Was it a little extra personal, a little extra motivational for you?
It's been personal for me since the day I stepped on campus at University of Michigan. When I committed, everybody told me that I would never beat them, and I made it like my mission that I would prove everybody wrong. And I just knew when we came here in the class that I came in with that we were on a mission to be able to turn this program around. We had the leaders from Hutch and Josh Ross and all those guys to be able to do it. And yeah, man, that game is always going to be personal to me, whether I'm playing it or just watching in it. Watching it, it's just going. I'm always going to be going for blue.
Rod Moore here with us made the game-winning interception up against Ohio State to send Michigan to the Big Ten championship game for a third straight season. So I was at the stadium. The game was absolutely electric. Right after the game ends, everyone storms the field. You're going through such a life-changing moment. When you see all the fans storming the field and you know what you just accomplished, what was going through your head in that blur in the final seconds of that game trying to get to the locker room?
Well, as soon as the whistle blew, the final whistle blew, everybody started storming the field, and I was just standing there. I'm just smiling, like I think I was just looking at the ground, like wow. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like the moment that I just had, I was still in awe, and I just turned around and tried to find my mom, my dad, and my cousin and my brother because they were all at the game. And first, my dad ran up to me; he was crying.
Wow.
How that is, and then I couldn't find my mom. My mom had made her way to the tunnel, and I didn't even see her until after I got through the whole entire the field through everybody. She's up in the tunnel already. I'm like, how did you get here? Like, they weren't even. Well, why did my dad leave you? But man, it was just great to see all the fans be able to rush the field like that. That was my second time seeing that, and just growing up watching college football, you see stadiums get rushed by fans, and then you get put in that moment, and it's just like, wow, this is really what college football is. The fans really love it, man.
There was a legendary photo of you and your teammates standing with the great Charles Woodson with the sunglasses on, which was unbelievable. Just what did that mean to you to have an all-time great? We know he's a Michigan man as well. Just be there for that moment, especially with your guys' connection and other guys on the team getting to know Charles Woodson throughout the years.
It meant a lot, not even only just to me, but I think it meant a lot to the whole defense. He came to talk to us the night before, because we have a thing where we have coaches and stuff talk at the end of like one coach talks for the week at the end of the week. But they had Charles Woodson come, and I think that gave us a little extra boost. And then him being in that picture, man, it just shows how much the love of alumni who played here has for the current team that's playing at the time. And I mean, he gives us so much advice, and just watching him on TV is just great.
Talking to Rod Moore right now, just wondering, I know it's a blur and it went by so quickly, but did you keep the football that you picked off from Kyle McCord?
Yes, in my room right now.
That's pretty neat stuff. I will say too, I thought two big moments of the game. It was so unfortunate to see the injury by Zach on the offensive line, and then the next play after that long delay, Blake Corum gets into the end zone. Also, right before your interception, there was a review, which was a long delay as well. It kind of speaks to the how mentally tough this team is, that after two big moments in the game, you guys were able to answer right away with big changing plays. Why is this group just so mentally tough in your Michigan team?
I think it's I'm gonna say it's a credit to Coach Herb to start off with. He always puts us in situations that test our mentality and make us mentally tough. Like no matter what's thrown at you got to react to it and be able to handle it in any way possible. And then I think it's just the camaraderie and how we had as a team. Like when Zach went down, I mean, you see the next play when Blake threw up the 6-5 on the camera. It's just everyone, you know how bad we felt for Zach, man. I mean, what he was trying to do going throughout the season. And I think just us being just one full team and everyone having the same mindset and the same goals from the start of the season, I think that helps us a lot.
We all know about the suspension to Jim Harbaugh. Sherrone Moore was filling in for the last three games as the acting head coach on game day. Just what do you want people to know about Coach Moore and the job that he was able to do on game day the last 3 weeks?
Dude, Coach Moore, man, that's one hell of a coach. Everybody knows he'll be a head coach one day, but him just being able to step in that role and being able to step up and be that leader that we needed at the time. I mean, what was it? Penn State, when we landed, that's when we figured out when Coach Harbaugh wasn't going to be coaching with us. And the next day, he had to be the head coach of the team, and he did one hell of a job of that. And you seen the emotion of him on TV. It just means that much to everybody in this program.
If you guys win the Big Ten championship, a lot of people are going to be tuned in up against Iowa to see that trophy presentation, assuming the commissioner, Tony Petitti, is the one handing over that trophy to Jim Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. What would that moment mean to you? I see the smile that you just gave me, but that was my first reaction when I found out that Coach Harbaugh got suspension. I can't wait to see Tony Petitti have to hand over that trophy to Coach Harbaugh.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's going to be a moment meaning to me. I think it'll be more so Coach Harbaugh just being able to look him in his eyes as he's handing him the trophy. I mean, it's just more so like a get back. Like, you tried to take him out, you tried to take something from us, but we still going to do what we do at the end of the day.
How would you describe Coach Harbaugh as a head coach and what your relationship has been like the last few years?
It's hard. It's really hard to describe Coach Harbaugh, but I'm going to say I love Coach Harbaugh, man. He's a hard coach, a very hard coach. I love the way he coaches. He demands perfection out of everyone, and him as a person, he doesn't just care about football. He cares about you outside of football and what you're doing to be a better person outside of football, and he's going to always look out for us. And, my relationship with Coach Harbaugh, I got a really good one. Since the day he offered me, the day I committed, I mean, I've glued to him and been able to be cool with him. And he had my dad DJ his daughter's graduation party. So, I mean, that speaks to our relationship.
Yeah, just wondering, this group, you guys have gone a long way, right? You've defeated Ohio State now three straight years. This is going to be your third Big Ten championship game. We've seen you guys in the college football playoff the last two seasons. I know there's unfinished business with this group. What do you guys kind of take from the last two experiences to get you guys to the finish line this year?
I think we just got to come ready to play. No matter who the opponent is, I think the first year we were there. But, you got to give all credit to that Georgia team. The Georgia team is probably one of the best Georgia teams in history. But then, like, last year, I think we just didn't take advantage of the moment. And I think I think this year, and then whenever time we get to be able to get on that field, we got to take advantage of the opportunity and being able to capitalize on it. Because, I mean, you only get one chance, and you blow that chance, it's all over with. So I think, I mean, it's three more games left to be able to do what we want to do. And I think we just got to be able to go do that.
Last thing I'll ask you, and I don't want this question to undermine what you've done the last 2 years, because every time you step foot on that field in the game, you've had just career days, and the moments for you just keep on getting bigger and bigger, and nothing will top up against Ohio State what you were able to do on Saturday. But now a lot of more people are going to start talking about yourself, Rod Moore. What do you want people to know about who you are as a football player and who you are as a person?
I want people to about me as a football player. I want people to know I'm gonna get it done at any means possible. I'm gonna play hard anytime I'm on that field, especially when we playing Ohio State, man. And it don't really matter who I'm playing against. I just love the competition. I love going against the best guys. It makes me a better player. I mean, like you said, I stepped on the field in the game, and that's the best game out of all the tough games we play. You got to play at your highest level, and I think I do well at that. And just as a person, it's a lot. I would say, I'm a real, a caring person. That's a lot. I got to think about that. But I just respect a lot of things. I have a lot of respect for a lot of people. And, yeah, that's all I really can say. right now, but this is a lot, man. Just the competitive nature with anything in life that I have. And I just want to be great at anything that I do, whether it's life on the field or off the field. I just want to be able to do what I can do the best.
One more quick question. Last one for Rod Moore. Just wondering, you make that big play. Now you're the big man on campus. I'm sure everyone wants to talk to Rod Moore this week. Students getting back from Thanksgiving break. What has this been like for you on campus? We all know the campus is massive at Ann Arbor, but you can't hide anywhere this week. So what has this been like?
Funny thing is, I really haven't been on campus because
Smart.
A lot of my classes are on Zoom, but I have one class that's in person. And the Monday I walked in, the teacher said something and everybody kept telling me good job. And then I was on the Zoom class. And it's like, you know how you can direct message somebody in the chat?
Yeah.
Somebody direct messaged me and said I was a legend. And I was like, wow, like people actually really pay attention. But it's actually pretty cool. Like, in fact, I went to the Pistons game last night and people just kept saying go blue every time I was walking past and just saying great play, great job, Ron. It's actually, honestly just crazy that people really know me, because, you know, I really never expected that.
Well, it's an unbelievable story. Great to be humbled as well. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
There he is, Rod Moore, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. And, man, what a play that he made after one of the defenders gets a hit on McCord, rushes that throw, and then Rod Moore was right there to make sure that football did not hit the ground, and he picks off that ball to secure a victory for Michigan. And you look back at that game, and I said that to him, I thought the two biggest plays in the game, it was when Zach Zintner gets hurt, and then right after that, the next play, Blake Corum runs for that 20-yard touchdown to get in the end zone, and then towards the end, the first time I thought Michigan was going to lose the game was when Ohio State fumbled the ball after the catch. And when they fumbled the ball after the catch and recover it, I thought to myself, uh-oh, they're in danger of going in and winning this game. And then immediately right after that review, you get the play by Rod Moore. And I think we could all assume that Michigan's going to win the Big Ten championship game up against Iowa, and they'll be off to the college football playoff for the third straight year. But this type of year for Michigan, you got to bare minimum get to that national championship game. If you make this back-to-back-to-back seasons where you go down in the first round of the college football playoff, the semifinal, then it goes to 12, and who knows what happens. Maybe Harbaugh leaves the program. He's talking to the Bears and all these other reports that are starting to circulate. You never know if you'll ever be back to this close to winning a national championship. And, hey, we're in the final week of the season before you get to the college football playoff, and you got a little bit of a layoff, and you know Georgia's going to be a force. Alabama's going to have something to say about it. Oregon, Washington, obviously the Michigan Wolverines. You got Texas. You got Florida State. You're seeing the schools, and you're starting to see this picture get clearer and clearer to the Final Four.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
High Five Casino. Social casino fun with real prizes and big Vegas hits. Have you had your High Five moment today?
Hey there, I'm Bob. Before High Five Casino, my high fives were more like low threes. But after my High Five moment, boom, high fives all around.
That's the spirit. High Five Casino is turning every moment into a high five moment. Visit h5c.fun. That's h5c.fun. And start spinning and winning today.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino only. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.